James, not you. You are not my mama. How you doing? Good to see you. Round of a hi. Like, no, no, no. Your sister, James. Okay. So let's go to the scripture that we ended on, and then let's talk about the homework a little bit. Now, I'm just going to assume that the missing people today are not because of the homework assignment, but because of the, we're going to pretend it's the rain. But usually when I give an assignment, I say I'm going to hold you to it. There's a surge of absentees. A little drop in attendance. So I'm just going to believe by faith, hallelujah, that they're on their way. James chapter 4, the last verse we read was 11. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. For when you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? And the foundation of that was simply this. It says, don't judge them, for in judging them, you judge the law. The simple explanation, did you get the chance to listen to the message? No, okay. Well, the simple explanation is this. He said, if you judge them, you're judging the law. How is that so? Well, if God's grace exonerates them or puts them in a high place in the eyes of God, and we choose to judge them negatively, we make a decision to judge against God's law. We make a decision to say our height of judgment is more now important than God's grace and favor and mercy. We decide to rank them on a system that we create of our own. And as a result, we're judging the law. We're saying the law is God's system is not good enough. We've got one of our own. It's pretty straightforward, but it's powerful. So I started with, well, before we can start talking about not judging others, how are we judging ourselves? Because it plays a part. It plays such a big part, you know. If you hate yourself, you know, you find these people that go out and commit these mass murders, and, you know, when you find out about these people, you start to realize this history of self-hatred or abandonment or feeling neglected or whatever demonic forces convince them that that's a logical reason to hurt other people. or sometimes just themselves. I want to just sit this out there, and I just want to be very ginger with it, but I want to be very real and very direct. Probably everybody in this house has dealt with frustration or depression at some point that thoughts of suicide have tried to come into your mind. Am I wrong? There's times that everybody in here said, I'd be better dead, or I wish I was dead, or something, some thought like that has come to you. Now, it's not the thought coming to you, right? It's what you decide to do with it. The decision is what makes the difference, not the thought. See, thoughts will come. Thoughts might even insist on staying. But thoughts not put into word or action die unborn. You abort them by refusing to heed or accept them as your truth. But I'm saying this because in some cases they made too much a big deal about it. Suicide. Society has. Because I'm being very ginger with this, because what I'm saying, I believe it on my heart. But I want to make sure the balance is clear. And if somebody still wants to screw it up, well, that's their problem. We've now turned it into an epidemic a disease, something that needed to be drugged, and not said to people, let's help you develop your will and your sense of worth so that you feel that you don't need to make that decision. Let me just drug you. Now, you got to understand why I'm saying this. I'm speaking out like this for this reason. Because if you listen to or watch any of the commercials about drug medications for depression, it says, if thoughts of suicide occur, see a doctor. Wait, if I'm taking depression medicine and it might make me want to kill myself, isn't that the opposite result of what I should be expecting? I'm expecting to say, if you get too happy and get too excited, see a doctor. Not it makes you go deeper in. That's a problem. So here's something I said a long time ago, and somebody took issue with it. I said, you can't Thorazine a demon. You can't medicate a spirit. It's a suggestion. It's a suggestion that all people deal with. Doubts, fears, worries, some more than others. Yeah, is there a mental situation involved? Sure. Some people's constitution is not as strong as others. This is an issue. Okay, but I'm against drugging everybody that has or lacks the ability to stand against suggestions that go against their humanity. So, when I say to you, everybody has negative thoughts. Satan does not care. He's not racist. He picks anybody equally. The world that is run by him in the news media and everything else, you want to get somebody a prescription, take all that negative crap off the air and stop glorifying it, and that might bring the rate down quite a bit. Just my opinion here. I haven't done any research, but just my opinion. If every time I turn the news on, all I see is this stuff, and people who do it become somehow famous or heroes or champions in some kind of way to some group somewhere. Now you're giving people inspiration to act on those emotions. I'm not trying to do a PSA. I'm just trying to deal with the facts. Everybody in this room probably has dealt, I'm guaranteeing you, everybody in the room has dealt with thoughts so negative that the enemy has tried to suggest that you're not worth living to you. What do you do about it? Well, one of the things I want to deal with today is dealing with stuff silently is not the best way to deal with it. It's not even the biblical way to deal with it. You're supposed to speak to the mountain and say, be removed. You're not supposed to think mountain be removed. You're supposed to speak to it. He said, you should ask for help. Yeah, well, you should. But if you want to go the alone route, go the alone route by beginning to speak life over yourself and over your situations, even if it goes against everything your emotions are feeling at that moment. Oh, come on, I'm speaking the word right here. You know I am. Begin to speak to it. Begin to say, we did this whole message on the I am statement. Begin to say, I am blessed. I am healed. I am good. I am in love with the God in me, if not myself right now. I value the gift that God has given me and the opportunity to do something with it. Ooh, you're quiet today. So we can't move to not slandering somebody else if we're slandering ourselves still, because you can't give what you have not yet acquired. Notice I didn't say what you don't have. I said what you haven't acquired. You have it. You just have to receive it. It's yours. It's yours in Christ, as Jeff was starting to allude to before I stopped cheating for y'all. Are you listening to me? I'm going to make you say it, so I'll make sure we're all together. See, I have the responsibility to take care of this castle that God has given me. It's my responsibility. You got to mow your lawn. Unless you're going to pay somebody else to do it, you got to do it. You have to speak life over you. Listen to what I'm saying. Brethren, sisters, you and I can get off into needing somebody else to always confirm or tell us who we are before we accept who God says we are. We got to go have a prophet speak over us. We have to have a word. Somebody has to come in and acknowledge me and say something good before I can feel okay about me, when it is my responsibility to clean my house. Amen. Yes, I'm giving you a charge today. Yes. So that's why I said, write this list. Begin to say things and speak things over yourself that line up with the word of God. Because it's your responsibility to take care of the castle God has given you. We are caretakers here. We are the salt of the earth. The scripture clearly says that. How many of you are familiar with the scripture, you are the salt of the earth? Just a few people? Okay, you've heard it. Do you understand the meaning of that scripture? Your grandpa, your dad was the first one to help me understand many, many moons ago that salt was a preservative. I thought salt was a seasoning. I didn't know it was a preservative. I didn't know you'd put stuff in it and it preserved it. So when I read salt of the earth, I thought we add spice to the earth, flavor, which is true. We are flavor, but we're also preservative. Well, the church is not preserving. The church is walking around whining and crying and woe is me and my arthritis, rheumatism, this and that. You know, we are more pitiful than the world. So how is the earth then to be preserved if the house itself is not even adding any spice? A lot of times if they are spice, they're just too much hot sauce and they're all in people's face. Let's just keep it real. You know, we are... By God's definition, are you listening to me? The earth's choice and the earth's requirement. Are you listening to me? We give them, people want salt. Found out recently from the doctor I have way too much. But we want salt. Then how come the earth don't want Christians? People want to be preserved. They're taking all kind of hormone shots and steroid shots and all kind of stuff, to calling it youth treatments and all kind of stuff, because they want to be preserved. Then why don't they want the church? How can you give to somebody what you don't have? I'm not going to go long today. But I want to talk about this list. I want to make you understand why I gave you this charge. I want you not to just write it and think it's assignment and then you off. I'm holding you to it now. I want you to speak it over yourself. I want to know that you're reading it, you're looking at it, and you're saying it with your scriptures in front of you and allowing it to get inside of you. Because, see, you wrote it out under challenge. You wrote it out under duress, some of you. But I don't want it just to be something you write and then it's gone. Because the world is challenging you every day to look at what you're not. Well, how are we counteracting that? By speaking what we are. Healing comes to our bodies because you say, I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name. And you know it. And you stand on it. You know, there's just people come and say, well, they prayed for me and nothing happened. But the people who know the word, come on, somebody, if I got a witness, wave a hand at me. Those of you who know the word, no, you speak it and you speak it and you speak it and you say it. And to the point that your emotions and your feelings and your symptoms no longer matter, you've spoken it so much that you can't see it any other way but what thus saith the Lord. You decide whose report you believe, and you decide to believe it. And even though the world is saying, yeah, I know, but you know, sometimes, shut up, I don't want to hear it. You know, it's so funny. I remember, and I've had it happen more than once, but Mikey came to me one time. He said, you know, I was playing in this other church, and they started talking about, well, you got to go to, and he said, right away, he said, I just shut off. So I've learned better. I'm not letting anybody speak over me. God's putting me through pain and suffering and making me struggle. You, those of you know, if you're around people and they start that, you're like, either I'm going to say what I got to say, and if you ain't going to let me hear what you're not going to hear me, I'm sure not going to let you minister to me if you're not going to let me minister to you. I tell people all the time, I'm in agreement with you. You know, God need, you know, no, you don't, God wants you to suffer. I'm in agreement with you. He wants you to suffer. I agree with you. Amen. And any come my way, I'll send the devil right to your house since you're a willing participant. They ain't got to argue. Amen. I point right to him. Amen for you. I've told this story before, but it's the funniest story in the world. This sister argued with me about you got to suffer. I don't receive that. I'm telling her, no, I believe my God's a good God. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord, from Father, and with no variation of shadow turning. I believe no evil calamity and misfortune before the righteous. I believe that. What I'm trying to do is get my place myself in the righteous place so none of that stuff befalls me. This is my stand. I'm not receiving. And she was getting irate. Her face was turning red. And then she finally just took her last religious stand. She put her foot down. She said, I don't care about being wealthy. As long as I got $5 in the Lord, I'm good. Okay. All right. There's two situations I did, but this was this financial one. I said, okay. So let's get in agreement right now. Let's not argue. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray together. And I prayed her prayer. God, as long as you have $5 and you, any wealth and success that's due her, send it to me. And make sure she get, if there's $1 million, minus five, and send the rest of it to me. Send it to me. Oh, she, her face got hurt. I said, no, you said that. You took a religious stand on it. Not a scriptural one, but a religious stand that just give me $5 in Jesus. I don't know how your landlord gonna feel about that, but, because he's not bound by your religion. I said, you say stupid things because you think it makes you sound holy, but it's pious, it's self-righteous, and it's self-righteous to your own detriment. So I want to talk about what you wrote. I'm not going to necessarily say stand up and read to me what you wrote, but I want you to look at it, even here now, and I want you to think about it. Talk about it to yourself. Ask yourself, are you listening to me? Because this is so important to this. And this is the whole cycle that God had to walk me through to be free from that junk. And it still hits me, but I have a practice now. The stuff you wrote, how many of you again wrote, did the homework? The stuff that you wrote, the positive stuff, are you listening to me? What I'm about to say is simple, but it's powerful. In the scale of things in your life, does it really carry more weight in your heart than the negative things? You wrote them. But when you read them, do they move you? Do they speak to you? When you read them, you wrote the nice thing, like Jeff said, like writing a resume. But when you read them, do you identify with them? Yes. I like that yes. That was a strong yes. Look at mine, I said yes. Yes. My wife said, did you do your homework? I said, yes, I did. I said, I had to stop. I was running out of stuff. I mean, I just started from the ministry side of things. I'm a good pastor. I care about people. I love serving the people in the food pantry. I love praying for people. I love helping people. And I said, God was like, okay, what about just what you for you? Oh, I'm a phenomenal musician. I'm a great producer. And I was like, Dad, God, I started to sound like bragging now. I need to chill here. But let me just tell you this, though. as I started going over with God, I started realizing what I was saying that was correct, but wasn't really strong foundation and truth to me yet. I said it, I wrote it, I believe it, but I had to realize that there's another part that fights against that. You know, that has right now a stronger grip, a stronger belief in me than that positive thing I wrote. Because every positive thing you wrote, there's a negative to it. What side of that has more power right now? I know I'm not doing a lot of scripture stuff today, but I'm teaching a class, and it's a necessary one. What of that has the stronger side? That's not even something to worry about. Now you need to say, okay, out of these 5 things or 10 things, this one, no question. This one, no question. This one, okay, then we need to work on that one. It's good that you at least have the working sheet. But now we got to walk through the process of making it real. You're with me? Stand with me a minute. I want people to raise their hand. If not, you know, I will call you. And just name one thing and the thing that you feel strong about. Say, yeah, this one thing I know I feel strong about. Yes, Angie. You're loyal. And you know that with a total certainty. No, yeah, sometimes, man, I don't know. Sometimes I don't feel that. You know that. That's a good place to stand. Celine, that's nice. She's reliable. That's nice. No question about that. The enemy don't push you back and forth with that one side or another. Shell. Yeah. People like him. Yeah, he's likable. Shell, she's a likable dude. I say that all the time. I think you got that word from me, didn't you? No, I told him that. I told him one time, you're very affable. One of the days I chewed him out back in the day. I said, no, you're very affable, but we need to work on this stuff. So, yes. Yes. Now we can get the one Celine said, because you definitely got the loyal, but the reliable, we will get that one. I hope you put that on the list, because that's the one we're going to get. You better. You way better. If you say you coming, I'm like, 80% of this, he, Finny laughing. 75%? 75? Got 75? 60? Finny just laughing. She ain't giving you no backup. She ain't giving you no backup. That, okay. Huh? No, you got your head down. You're like, I'm out of that. You look at the number. You started waiting for me to get to the right number? Okay. Somebody. But this is part of that process, isn't it? Yeah, somebody, come on. There you go, all the hands. Let me. I'm going to stop from messing. I'm going to swing over. Good. Yeah, you do. Boy, you do. Kevin, you're patient. That's good. And you know that. No matter what, you good. See, those are the things that we should anchor ourselves to. I don't know your boy's name. Okay, go ahead. Respectful. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You absolutely are. That's a good one. See, you see how good this feels? Come on, let's go. Keep them coming. I'm a dreamer. You're a dreamer. Talk about that a little bit.
Dreams that turn into visions and then to put a plan of action beside
it. So, you are a pursuer of your dreams. I like that better. See, people are dreamers, they don't do a damn thing. So, I just have to be real. Okay, so that's what I want. Like, talk to a brother. Dreaming is nice, but you got to wake up sometime. So talk to a brother. Yeah, so who else? Come on.
I'm a lover.
Nice. I like that. And you sure about that? No question in your mind. I love it. Yes, Sister Linda.
I love me.
I like that. I like that. Okay, you only get a line. You don't get a sermon. You don't get to preach now. Just a sentence. I got you, though. You love what God has done with you. You love what God has made. You love the you that God has made you. I like that, and I know that's true. Come on, babies. Give it up.
Efficient.
You're efficient. Explain that a little bit. I'm going to come back to you. You don't be dropping words on me and think I'm not going to question you. I know. Listen, you forgetting who I am? Go ahead. Tell me a little bit about that. Good. See, but I ask you this question. I want to make sure you're not just saying a phrase. I want to, if you just drop a line, a word, challenge is going in. Like, no, I want to know that you really gave some heart and thought to it. Even if you didn't do the homework, you're welcome to just give me something. Okay, time for me to stop pointing? No, you don't get two.
I put my first word that I put on the note is that I'm personable.
I like that.
Yeah.
See, she says the word, and she gives me an explanation. That's what I like. That's good. I like that. Go ahead, Mike.
Echoed a lot of them that's out there.
Okay, go for it. I don't care. I want to hear yours.
I'm committed.
That's real. That's real. That's real. Like horse with blinder committed. You know you are. You really are. Praise God. Yes. And I like when you say it with that conviction. How's this feeling today? This is good, right? It feels good. They say it and they hear it. See? I know what I'm doing here. I told you, I'm good at this. I know what I'm doing. Go ahead, Elvis. You're a good listener. I like that. I like that. You want to ask something, Mama? No? I know you knew, but you're welcome. Mitch, come on. You don't get off. You are. And you're sure about that, too, in your heart. Give me some. Yeah, Sister Wise. Teachable. I like that. You heard what she said?
Teachable.
You heard what she said? That's a good place to be. Good, especially when we get in our age group. A lot of people get up here, they ain't teachable no more. You can't tell nobody. You can't tell them, I've been here. Wow, you can't tell them. Yeah, we're still dumb. I don't care how long you've been here. You know, teachable is a good place to be. I never want to get to the place where I'm not learning anymore, ever. I always say, if you're not learning, you're dying. It's over. Come on, Miss Patton. You want me to come back? Are you kidding me? Okay, I'm going back to you then. Did you have a chance to?
Efficient in a way of I don't like to waste time and I'm well organized.
Okay, I like that. You don't waste time and you organize. You don't like to waste time and you organize. That's good. That's good. So are you efficient by faith or you want to be efficient? You said, I don't like to. So that means.
That's one of those things, like you put a star next to it, like I want more of that to be more efficient in the spirit.
Okay.
Because I have a list.
Okay, but I want the thing that you are like, no. No questions.
I'm a great mother.
That's good. That's good. Great mom is good. See how fast you answered that? The other one, you was like, see? When you ask the real question, you get the real answer. You know it. There's no question. You know it. You got one for me, Rach?
I'm adaptable. Like I can be in any situation.
You can adapt to anything. That's a good quality. That's a phenomenal quality. How does it feel to say these things and to share these things? Feels good, right? Now, did I get everybody? Go ahead, Sister Winnie. You are, yes, you are. Okay, you don't get to preach either. but you're creative. You are creative. That's your gift. And here's why I say that. It's real easy for us when I ask questions like this to go, well, because the Lord in me and it is the spirit of it. Okay, I'm asking you to tell me what you have accepted about you. Right. When you start doing that to me, it starts to sound like it's still a confession, but not yet a totally accepted reality. Now, you didn't catch that. See, I want to make sure that when you speak these words, they're no longer in the place that you got to say, I believe I'm healed, I believe I'm healed, I believe I'm healed. Okay, if you believe you're healed, you just believe you're healed. I don't have to run around and say that. My doctor gave me this week a very serious report. And I didn't go there and say, oh, my God, well, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. In Jesus' name. People telling me, well, you healed? You believe you healed? I'm like, do you really have to ask me that? Really? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I'm not worried about that. I have been diagnosed. I remember when our doctor told me I had bronchitis and told me I was going to have it for the rest of my life. I was like, you're going to have it for the rest of your life. Thanks for telling me what I'm dealing with. I remember when they told me I have arthritis in both of my knees and they needed to do surgery. I said, you see arthritis on that x-ray? So we're not really sure what we see, but we won't know until we operate. I said, you said enough. You said enough. You telling me you're going to figure it out once you cut me open? We good. Thank you. And have a night. I never went back. This is me. I studied healing in the Word early on in my walk. So this, for me, that's not a, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Healing for me, or believing for healing, that's not something I fight with. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Did you hear what I'm saying? I know I'm speaking to somebody today. I spent enough time with that I know that I'm healed. Tell you something else I know without question. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. That's why you never see me lack. I don't doubt that slightly. I don't doubt that slightly. I don't doubt that slightly. But I spend enough time with that I can't see it any other way. You may be seated. You're going to get back up again, but for now you can sit. Are you being blessed today? Give God a hand clap. I know those things because I've spent the quality time with God and his word on those things that I don't need to stand up and confess when, oh, in Jesus' name, I believe I prosper, I believe I don't need to do that. It is. I don't have to wake up in the morning and say, I believe I'm a man. I believe I'm a man. I'm a man in Jesus' name. I believe I'm a man. I believe I'm a man. I know I Satan, I rebuke you. I believe I'm. I don't have to do that. Hopefully you don't have to either. Because you know. Come on, saints. There's a place that you can get to say, there's a place that I am coming to now. That the promises of God to me. I totally, yay, and amen.
Amen.
So that's a place in my life that I aspire to. I was broke. I didn't like being broke. I went and did an all-out study on God's prosperity. I saw the stuff that was lies and errors that pastors were using just to raise money. And then I saw the stuff that was truth. And I rightly divided the word of truth. And I came out with an understanding. Now, if you ask me, oh, so you believe then you could be Bill Gates? And no, I didn't do that study. But at that point, I just was tired of struggling to pay bills and not knowing how I was going to eat. So I did that. I didn't have major sicknesses, but I had enough sicknesses on me that, you know, that limited me and handicapped me in a way that I didn't want to be there anymore. So I took a stand. I studied to show myself approved. I got to, yeah, I'm speaking to you, right, Shel? I got to the place that I can't see it any other way. So if you talk to me about lack, it's like, I can relate to what you're saying, but no, I don't know that spirit anymore. That spirit is not my friend. I don't have any kind of relationship with it. Are there things in your life that if it comes up against you, your insides automatically rebuke it before you even open your mouth? You just like, I ain't doing that. Yes, it can be that way to every promise of God, saints. Oh, I just gave you something to aspire to, didn't I? I just gave you something to be hopeful about. Here's another thing. And here's where I am right now. You listening? And this is going to be my next question to you. I didn't realize that I was under stress because I was doing what I wanted to do. So I didn't receive it as stress until it was revealed to me. How many of you know what the blood pressure is supposed to be? 120 over 80. Mine was 145 over 100. And resting around there consistently. And my doctor said, who's a Christian man, the fact that you're still on this planet is God keeping you. Because that is crazy. And I sat there and he said, what are you stressed about? Nothing. Nothing. I walk in perfect. God will give you perfect peace. I'm saying to myself, God said, don't do that. He said, the fact that you got to pull that up like that. And then he began to show me. I get stressed out over the things that I want to do. I'm such a perfectionist. Come on, saints. I know I'm not the only one that I can drive myself batty. On top of that, I've been eating a high salt diet without realizing it. A lot of pretzels and chips and snacks and stuff. I try to stay away from fried stuff, so this way I think I'm good, but baked pretzels are still salt. It's like it's like a mouthful of salt. You eat a whole bag of pretzels in one sitting, and I ain't talking about the little, I'm talking about, yeah, it's not good for you. Doc said, we got to do something about this. He said, and he said to me, and I said I wasn't going to share it with the house, but God said, no, do it. He said, I'm going to put you on meds. He said, and he knows me. I'm like, he said, it's the lowest dose I could possibly give you just for a couple of weeks. We need to get this down. He says, is there anything natural I can do? He said, I don't want you working out or doing anything right now. The fact that this is like this, we need to get this down first. Then we could talk about whatever else you want to do. Well, I came home and I looked at them pills and I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to take these pills. And I literally just did. And God was like, who are you letting down? Mike said something yesterday I thought it was real cool. He said, just because you're getting life insurance policy don't mean you're going to die. It just means you know, it's not going to bring death on you, right? And so I said, well, you know, God, it's got to be an alternative for me. I'm fighting within myself. You know, fighting within myself. I don't do this. You heal me or I die. And God was like, okay, look, according to the doctor, what he just told you, sometimes you've been getting dizzy and passing out in the gym. That's why. Now you know. And the doctor said, you should have had a stroke or something then. There's no way you should still be standing here and talking to me with this like this. He said, we need to get this down. I'm going to give you the lowest possible dose. Take it for 2 weeks. Come back and see me. So you shouldn't even have any side effects. You should be fine. You know, I'm not trying to hear that. I came home. I said, God, now I know what it is. So I could just believe you. God said, you went to a physician who sought me to help you. Don't be an idiot. Listen to what he said. He didn't say you're going to be on this for the rest of your life. He said 2 weeks and come back. So his faith is with your faith, but he's giving you a place to meet him. Like, don't do this. Yes, Lord. I still didn't take the pill till like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yes, I was supposed to take it at breakfast in the morning. I was fighting it every step of the way. But I had to let God's wisdom reach me in the place that I realize, okay, you're listening to what I'm about to say? I'm about to tell on myself, and I'm about to tell on you, like I do. I had gotten to the point that arrogance was mixed in with faith. See, the room gets here. I hear the size and everything, right? You think you're taking a stand of faith, but you're actually being arrogant. You're actually saying, basically, my faith was in not taking the medicine more than God's ability to heal. I want to take it. Well, woke up this morning, my pressure was like way down and lower than what's supposed to be perfect men. I'm like, see, I'm good. I don't need any more. God said, he told you 2 weeks. Don't be hard-headed. But for me, it's like, why is it so important to me? He's like, you took the soul. That got you here. You did the stuff to get you here. If you such men of faith, then you believe for food without all that salt. And stop putting salt all over your stuff. And then hot sauce on top of the salt. So last night, literally, I took God up on it. I told God, you challenged me, you know it's on. See, me and Daddy get down like that. So we went out to eat, and I got a baked potato. And I said, I'm not going to put no salt, baked potato with no salt. But I said, I'm going to believe by faith that it's going to taste good. And I sat there and I ate a little bit of it. And then I just got this great idea. I took the lemon wedge and squeezed it on the potato. And it gave it, it was good. I was like, hey, I'm good. My wife made me some eggs this morning, no salt. And I was like, oh, hallelujah. See, I told you, God. Because I remember when I cut sugar out of my diet. And I said, I'm not going to eat sugar like that. And just literally just cut. Not totally, but I mean literally. Like, I don't eat cereal and put sugar on it. I eat it just like that. And God is showing me. We sometimes don't take the right stands because we're trying to be believers. Just trying to challenge us today. So my next question is this. And I'll have you can stand up one at a time as you say it. Now, what is the one thing on your list that you have there that you know is more a statement of faith now than it is a resolution in your heart that you really believe it? If there's something on that list, how many of you got more than five things, first of all? Nice. What is on that list that's important to you, but you know it's not there yet? Yes, Sister Winnie. The I am capable part. So that's something you believe by faith, but you know that's still a place of struggle on the inside of yourself. So the attack of the enemy is consistently trying to tell you you're really not capable. I guarantee you that's the large percentage of this room. I guarantee you that, including myself. There's areas that I know that I'm gifted and talented and know that I'm better than most people, but am I capable of being successful with it? It's always a fight for me. And God told me that's where the stress is coming from. Now you're trying to figure out what you need to do to make it happen, where everything else you trust me here, you keep feeling like you're not doing enough. And every time you do more, it's still not enough. And that's what the enemy keep doing. It's like you feel like it's always right in front of you. And just as you get ready to grab it, it moves another step away. And so you start feeling like, well, I'm not diligent enough. I'm not working hard enough. I don't really mean it. Maybe I'm not praying. Maybe I should fast more. And all of a sudden, you begin to lose God's grace and your abilities to try to make it happen apart from God while calling on God. Your faith becomes more about what you do and less about what God is doing. You start to have faith in your faith and not faith in God. Thank you for sharing that. Next. Yes, little brother. Your determined thing. And that's the thing that you know that you need. And that's right now an important thing for you. Because that's what I want to know. The thing that you're saying, I know right now and I want to conquer that. I'm determined. We're in agreement with that. Come on, baby. Yes, Esther. I see the good. Yes. She said, I see the good in everyone. That's good. That's a faith statement, right? Because sometimes it's hard. I'm with you. I claim that one too. Yes. Yes, Mike.
I'm not easily offended.
I'm not easily offended. But you could be offended.
Not easily.
But you can be. But right, but you know that that's an area that you need to see fulfilled in this season of your life. And again, it's seasons. Yes, Kevin. You're cautious. So you're not as cautious as you should be. Okay, amen. I'm with you, bro. Yes, Nelly. Yeah. I trust God's timing. Yeah. Everybody went, hey. High five on that one. See, that was the one, right? I trust the Lord and his timing. And then, all right, scheming. All the time scheming. And getting frustrated with God and everything. He's taking too long. I said, I trust you, Lord. What you waiting for? What else do you need me to say? You know, what else I got to do, right? Just come on. I said, I trust you. What else you want from me? God, like, I know the truth. I know you don't really mean it yet. Come on. Keep them coming. Celine, you're pure. You're not sure about being pure? We need to talk. Yeah, I know what you mean, honey. No, I know what you mean. I like that. I like that. And that doesn't necessarily mean dirty, filthy, and porn and stuff like that. It's just that you know the thoughts of your heart sometimes are impure. For me, the thing that God has been challenging me with, and I shared it with you last week, and this week has been like, it's been such a blessing. The evil foreboding, the negative thinking about stuff. Thinking out the scenarios, and if they say this to me, I'm going to say that, or having imaginations of stuff that would happen. You know, like after I got my report, the enemy said, yep, see, you're going to be driving down the street. And right away, I have to stop and say, evil foreboding, right away, stop. I'm not even going to entertain. I'm not going to rebuke it. I rebuke that, I receive that, and the thought's still going. I just say, evil foreboding. And once I call it, it just stops right there. It's a negative thought process. I know what you're doing. Stop. I'm not going to even allow myself to meditate on the last argument I had with somebody and what I'm going to say to them and what they're going to say back to me, and then this is going to happen. Stop. It's evil foreboding. Don't let the thought process live in me. That's, for me, the one I'm standing on. But not only am I standing on, I've taken now the action to see it change. So the thing you're talking about now, I don't mean me and you necessarily. I'm expecting you now to say, okay, God, this is the thing that's right in front of me that I keep kind of brushing off to the side, but it really needs to be dealt with in my life right now. Let's do it. Come on, let's keep them going. Yes. I'm coming to you next, baby. No, you next. Go ahead, you. Yes, Jericho, I'm sorry. I am enough. That's... Wow, that's good. And that's something you would know to confess, but in your heart of hearts, you know it ain't where it needs to be yet. I like, that's good. Did you hear that? How many of you say, I take that one? She said, I am enough. Yes, sir. Okay. He has an excellent memory of picking state capitals. 50 state capitals. And that's what you're believing for. Amen. Dream big. Next. Mike, you put his head down like that. Amen. Come on. I'm going to start picking you. So everything on your list, you're good. All right. I want the one that you... An innovator and visionary. And your spirit has trouble really sucking that one in. Yes. Amen. That's good. And that's a good one to start working on. So you stand, we're going to stand, get scriptures, and get before the Lord and until that becomes the reality for you. That's what this is all about. Yes, Rachel. I like that. That I deserve the good. It's mine. I'm supposed to have that. You in the right house to get that anointing. Amen. That's good. Yes, dear.
I'm able.
You able? Explain.
Like, I didn't know what I was going to say. This is what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, I want to stay humble, I want to stay modest.
Let's put them all together. It almost goes to her words, you are enough. You have, you are everything. Yes, you do. Good. I'm going to tell you this. You're on the road to something real powerful. You are. You really are. Me and you have spoken a few times. And I can see, I don't listen to people's words. I hear the spirit. And the last time you and I spoke, it just what came out of you and what came out of your spirit was different. So trust me, that's what you're believing for. I'm just telling you this. This is the reason why I'm having us do this exercise. It shall manifest and sooner than you know it. But it's good to get you to talk about it and speak against it so you know now what the opposite feeling feels like. You know what you should be speaking. So now when the thought tries to come to you to say the opposite, you say, no. I'm here now. It's like I say, nope, evil foreboding. I don't do that. It's just that simple. It may sound too simple, but I'm telling you, we overcomplicate it. We really do. So you're on the right track. Just keep rolling and keep speaking life over yourself. You wrote your list. Read that list. Speak that list out loud. Keep doing it. Your faith will line up with that list. That faith, your spirit will be built up by God. Philippians 2:13, he works in you both to willing to do all his good pleasures. And all of a sudden, one day, you wake up one day and it's just like, you're just there. How did I get here? I don't know other than I spoke it. Amen. Let's go. So the rest of your list, you're good. Everything on your list, you got it down to a science, right? You ain't struggling with nothing, right? See, so don't make them faces at me. Okay, Shell, I'm just going to start calling you. Okay. Got you. It makes perfect sense. So you're saying you believe in that you start with courage and you continue, you finish with courage. Like you don't just have enough courage to get started, but have courage to go the whole course of it, not to faint under any kind of pressure. That's a good place to be standing. It's a good place to be standing. I'm glad you spoke that out. See, it's powerful. You got stop being proud. If you're not saying it because you're being proud, then you know what pride comes before destruction. Speak it out. Say it. As the old folk used to say, tell the truth and make the devil shame. I'm a successful entrepreneur. And that's a statement, and you've taken the steps, but the challenges that try to come against you to tell you it's not so, right, that's right, it's real. That's real stuff. Amen, and we agree with that. And now, I'm going to keep repeating it again and again, and so you keep that word in front of you. God will then begin to give you scripture to stand on. It's not about a feeling. It becomes a knowing after a while. You say it enough that you can't see it any other way. You change on the inside. And once that happens, you know, what the secular spiritualists say, which is true, you begin to speak it and you begin to believe it, and the universe, they'll say, begins to bring it to you. Yes. It's not the universe, it's God, but we got it, right? But the principles are correct. It's biblical. Speak to the mountain. And, you know, even salvation is that.
That's right.
Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. What proof you got other than just a statement? First time you said you were saved, or somebody told you, oh, you confessed Jesus? Well, you saved. You were like, I don't feel so saved. But after a while, you kept reading it, kept confessing it, kept speaking it, and now there's no question in your mind. Even when you fall, you're like, yeah, I don't care what nobody say. You ain't taking my salvation. It comes that way with everything else. I want to take a few more. Come on, for the sake of time. Don't make me come after you. Go ahead, Soph. To always ask for help. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you really don't. But you're starting to. And speaking it. And you got up here today and sing. By the way, you sound phenomenal. Sound phenomenal. I was like, ooh, I hear. I had something different. I had to come downstairs with my slippers and peek in the door. I wanted to, I was like, what's going on up in here? Come on, Angie, give me something.
I'm an excellent math professor who will help adults see their capability.
That's something you're believing for. I thought that was already the case, but okay. Thing when you start to deal with adults. Got you. They're more malleable, right, than right. I like that. I got a few. It's good. I like that. Yes, doctor. I was prophetic, by the way. I just called you doctor. Every time I see you, I want to say Dr. Wise. I don't know why. She is? There you have it. I didn't know. Nobody ever told me. The Lord, well, yes, he did. The Lord just did. Yes, doctor. Mm-hmm. Just the ability just to stand there and, yep, just renounce it with a word or a sentence. No. Sometimes I just say the things, no. 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 I'm not going to stand there. I rebuke you. No. It's just no. The answer is no. I'll show you how easy that is. Somebody walked up to you tomorrow and said, yo, I got some guns now. Let's go rob a store. We get some money. What would you say? You would say, I Satan, I come against you. I don't receive. No, you'd be like, get out of here. No. I got some crack. See, you're laughing, right? It's like, come on, that ain't even something. You're like, no, I'm not doing that. No. Well, Satan comes against you with anything that goes against who you are. It's just that simple. No. No. No, it ain't for me. It's not for me. I'm going to sit there praying and fasting. No. The answer is no. You say that no enough, that no is powerful. Powerful. Did I get everybody that raised their hand? Yes. Yeah. I'm confident. And that's a stand. And now, with that said, we're wrapping up now. With that said, you know the differences, right? You know the difference between the things you know you believe and the things you want to believe. Nobody probably pointed that out to you like that before. But that's so crucial to a Christian's walk. We can get our spirit, I just believe Jesus make a way. And, you know, and all of a sudden God's like, would these people please do something and stop talking this crap? All things work together for the good. See, the key phrase is work together. Didn't say God works all things out for my good. I've heard people say that. So it's not what the scripture says. It says all things work together. There's a harmony. There's a unity. I put harmony and unity together, the harmony. There's a harmony, just make it up. I'm trying to get the sentence out. There's a harmony, there's a unity that happens in the spirit realm and in the physical realm that makes things work. Are you understanding me? They have to come in concert with one another. You got three people singing up there. One person sings out of key. They go, oh, they sound bad. They don't say the person sounds bad. They say, they sound bad. One person out of key, they sound bad. If we are not in line with God in terms of the flow and growth, it puts things out of harmony, and it doesn't work. I don't believe God could do all things. Then how come you still screwed up? Because I and God line up, and there's an order. There's a decency involved. All things in decency and order, Scripture said. It's that. God doesn't like craziness. Peace is the criteria of the move of God in all things. So here's where I'm going to bring us home. Go back to your list. If you feel led to add more, add more. If you want to break into categories, this is what I know I got, and this is what I'm still believing for, do that. Here's what I did when I was believing God for things in my young walk. when I started believing. I was believing really just to come out of poverty and homelessness and the kind of stuff I was going through. I made a list. And the list had, I did this as a young man, I think like in my like mid-20s. I had the list of things that I know I could believe for. Then on the other side, I had the things that I thought that was kind of like almost the impossible or the hard things or the things that was a struggle for me to stand for. You understand what I mean? I broke the list down in these two categories. And I put it away in a book. The first one I did was in 1989, something like that. And I pulled it out. No, it was 88, I think. I pulled it out, and I looked at the list. And on the impossible things or the hard-to-believe things, you know what I had? A wife. Wow. Right. Wow. I didn't think, it's not that I didn't think I could marry somebody. Yeah. I didn't think I could ever be a husband, a good husband. I'm like, I don't be stuck with no one chick. So for me, I'm just telling the truth. I was new to Jesus. You know, I was like, God, I don't know if this marriage thing is for me, but I'll put it down as a statement of faith. Amen. And I put things on that hard to believe list that I've looked at, and I'm like, God, you met every one of these things at least times 10, sometimes so far beyond what I asked for is ridiculous. But everything on that list was answered, the easy stuff and the complicated stuff. That's why the scripture says write it on the tab, the vision on the tab, that you can see it as you run. Because for the vision is for appointed time, but though it tarry, though it delays, wait for it, because for in the end, it will speak and not lie. It will speak. It will speak. The vision knows how to speak for itself. Doesn't need your help. God don't need you always stand up there trying to proclaim the vision for people. The vision has its own voice. It can speak for itself, and it can define itself better than you ever can. You just need to line up with it so that it's real and true to you. Once you do, the vision, watch it speak. Am I saying something to you? It will speak. It will speak. You don't have to, and I need to say this before I go, but I really want to say this. For those of us that stand and believe for healing, and this is something I know about, and I can speak from a place of real conviction. Healing is not because you go to everybody and say, I believe in Jesus' name, I'm healed. You don't have to make a case for healing to people. Healing is a thing between you and God. Only reason I share my story with you once, because when you see it go down, you're going to go see, but you know, but you ain't going to be surprised. You're going to go, that's pastor, though. That's what you expect from me. And hallelujah, according to your faith, be it unto me. Amen. But my point is, it's not a place of trying to convince anybody. You don't got to argue with the doctor. Nah, I don't receive that in Jesus' name. You don't have to do all that. Listen, let him believe what he believes. That's a place between you and God, and you and God alone. That's that place where you come to with God and you, and I don't care how many prophets pray over you and how many people. I see the angel descending on you, and I see healing coming to you. All that's nice, and it may be true, but it's not real until it becomes yours. And that comes from time alone. Everything I just shared with you, it comes from time alone. It comes from me sitting before God until I said earlier, I can't see it any other way. Not struggling with it, not fussing with people, not rebuking this devil and casting this thing out. And the church people love wrestling with devils. I don't know why if they spend as much time with Jesus for real, if they spend with the devil, they'd be much further along. Come on, you know I'm telling the truth today. The church people love knowing about the devil and what the devil do. Like, why do you care? You're not part of his family. Get before God. And I'm telling you, get before God and the peace of God will come on you, and either the healing will be instantaneously or it'll come in your spirit and you know it, and nothing can move you. Nothing can move you. Nothing can move you. your spirit becomes resolved. It won't move. So the things you believing for, when I tell you to do things, I'm not telling you this because I want to see if you're going to do what I tell you. And I think you know that. I genuinely love and care about you. I said, God, help me help them. You said it's the year of achievement. What do I need to say different? So, yeah, you will be getting assignments. And I will be following up on it. Not because I'm trying to get on you, because I want to see you win. How many of you bear witness today by a show of hands that what I gave you today was helpful for where you need to go? See? So it's good stuff. Use it. Please use it. Don't come to church to get a feel-good message only. Please use it. There's a reason why I always win. Because I confessed I always win. And it was God would say to me sometimes, you're not winning right there. And I would say, I rebuke you, devil. You know, you right away. God, sometimes God check you and you think you're talking to the devil. No, God's checking you. You don't really believe right there. Okay. Well, what I need to do? To do the same thing you did with those other things until that's real. Last thing I want to say, don't treat faith like it's that noun button at Staples. Easy button. Yeah, don't treat it like that. Like you hit it and everything changes. No. Faith, Jesus said it. He said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would speak to the mountain and say, be thou removed, and it will obey. And you know what church people said? So all I need is a little bit of favor. I can go speak to the mountain. No. He's describing something that grows. All you need is a little bit, but you do have to plant it. And then you have to watch it, and you got to take care of it and water it, and you got to let it grow. It can become the biggest seed in the forest, but it's still a seed right now. So what he was saying is if you have faith the size of the mustard seed, you begin to plant it. And it grows, he said, into the biggest tree in the forest. It grows. Somebody say it grows. It grows. Say my faith planted grows. Start with it. Pinpoint the areas where it's weak. Plant. Tend to it. Speak to it. Water it. Watch it grow. Don't get so, you already planting, tying a tire swing to the tree, and you ain't even put the seed in the ground yet. Let it grow. And the more you use it, the more it grows. It's not God's faithfulness or lack thereof, or God likes you more or don't, or God really heard your prayer or he didn't. That's not the case. The issue is your faith hasn't come to the place that it brings its manifestation yet. So you plan it, and you speak it, and you write it, and you look at it, and you say it again. And the first couple of times you say it, your mind goes, you know that's a lie. And you say, well, it won't be for long. Come on, Christians. You say to yourself, it won't be for long. You know you don't really believe that. That's why I'm working on it. That's why I'm in this gym right now in the spirit working on that muscle. That's why I'm developing that right now. That's why I'm speaking to it right now. That's why I'm applying the word to it right now. If lack is a situation in your life, well, speak to it with the word. I did, but now keep speaking. Keep speaking. Ask and keep asking. Knock and keep knocking. You understand what I'm saying? Keep seeking. And that seed grows into the biggest tree in the forest. The places I won't be moved are those places that I've planted and I've watered and I've spoke to and I've watched and I've cared for. And there's times I had to take my mind off of everything else just to focus on this for now. Well, I don't want to just focus on finance. And that. If that's where you're weak right now, maybe that's where you need to focus. I don't want to just be praying and seeking God for things about finances. Okay, then don't. Do it your way, which ain't working. Here's what I'm telling you will happen. You ready? This is what happened to me. My biggest area of lack in my life was finances. My family and I were homeless. We didn't know what we were going to do. I got in the person's house who let me stay there for a week. I opened my Bible and I said, all I want to learn, God, right now is about prosperity and how to take care of my family. Somebody talking about being super rich. I just want to be able to provide. Your word promises prosperity. I don't want to read any other scripture but prosperity scriptures. And I looked them all up. And you know what I saw? It talked about judgment. It talked about my heart. It talked about love. It talked about... Because once you start studying anything of God, it's going to bring everything in. You ain't going to get one without the other. So right away, he started talking to me about my thoughts. He started talking to me about my attitude. He started talking to me about my, you know, you're not sowing favor. How can you reap favor if you're not sowing favor? And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, so I'm getting checked. But that check had a focus. Now I see love your neighbor, and I can understand now how it's affecting the goal I'm reaching for other than me just quoting a scripture and a Christian saying. I know I'm overtime today, but I hope you don't mind. Is this helping? So now you got a course of study. Not just coming to church and hearing the word and going home, but a course of study. Whatever that weak part of your body or your spirit is, make a decision. I'm getting a personal trainer in the spirit, and I'm going right for this one thing. When that's strong, then I move to the next thing. And when that's strong, then I move to the next thing. Trust me, God has no problem with it. I'm standing here as living proof. Amen. He has no problem with it. He has no problem with it. Right now, we scattered too many places, divided into too many things. We're, as he said to Martha, worried about too many things when doing what's needful is just to sit right here and just listen. Just be still right here. Whatever that right here is for you. And just listen. Amen.